Yeah, WA2UMP, K2TRW. I prefer to do that off the air, if that's okay with you.
Sure, shall I, is it too late? Can I give you a quick call, or how do you want to work that?
Yeah, I'll email you my phone number. K2TRW, I'll be clear.
Sounds good. WA2UMP, clear.
Gordon?
W2TTT here.
W2TTT, W2SE. Yeah, I just did double check from the command window. You got to do a slash all to get all the interesting goodies. And there doesn't seem to be any options in Windows to give you just the information for just the active internet connection.
No, I don't think there is. I think at one point I actually wrote a parsing script for that to basically pull out what you need for various things I was doing.
Yeah, there's probably ways to grep it and a few other things I'd have to figure it out, but Windows doesn't support grep, does it? Something useful. There's plugins for that, I know. Yeah, but the information is there, and I'll figure it out. By the way, the command window, if you do highlight stuff in the command window, it is the space bar to put it into the clipboard, and then you could put it someplace else in Windows. The other edit options is you right-click on the very top bar in the window, called the banner section, and then you can get to the edit options.
Oh, okay. Interesting. All right. Do I remember what else I did with that? Oh, by the way, there are AUK and SED tools available for Windows. Oddly enough, it's been a while since I've used them, but they do exist.
There's a whole library with a whole bunch of standard C language, Unix command line, you know, regular shell commands. I forget what it's called now. And I think there are some standalone things also, but I haven't used them in a long time. It's been very, very long.
Yeah, but gosh, they're useful, aren't they? I mean, need to parse text, boy. What else do you, I mean, doesn't get much better.
I do a lot of regex, and especially now there's something called HamAlert out there. So you can use HamAlert to send alerts from the spotting networks, the SOTA spotting network, a bunch of RBN, a bunch of other things. And you can send it to various destinations, including email, an email to your cell phone, which then usually gets converted to SMS, and lots of other nice things. So if you're interested in chasing that rare DX and you're not in front of your computer, you can do all sorts of interesting triggers on HamAlert.
Oh, really? And what's its standard inputs?
HamAlert's got a whole bunch of options. No regex, unfortunately, because it's all done up on the server. And RexX would be too much of a load considering all the users on it. But you could select things like country. You could select things like call sign. I think there's some time of day qualifiers. There's source qualifiers, multiple sources, multiple call signs. There's a whole bunch of things. You got to play with it. Just try that out. There's another web page out there specifically for Summits on the Air. And it's basically a filter section, and it's a bunch of scripting that runs on your web page, and that has regex, which is very handy for SOTA, because now I can filter on the various alert messages coming in and the spot messages, and I can see what's going on.
Not for me with regex. What does it do?
Regex is the guts behind things like grep and a lot of the others, so it's for string matching. Okay.
I'm sorry, I thought you were referring to something specifically ham radio-ish. That's what it was confusing me. All right. Well, that sounds pretty cool. But basically, ham alert allows you to look for things and set up alerts. What I'd want are anything with a embedded message of FN 20, 21, 30, or 31.
I don't know. I don't do spotting networks very often. Do they include grid squares?
Some do.
Okay, well, there's no regex matching in ham alert, so that might be a little difficult. You might have the possibility of, grid square matching if it's, you just put it in there explicitly, but I tend to doubt it. But again, I haven't looked. I haven't used it for that.
Yeah, if it's a set field. So there's no regular expression evaluation tools at all in there, huh?
No, unfortunately not. It's all pull-down menus and various options to enable. You do it on a web page, but all the filtering and all the decision and the lifting is done up on the server. The SodaSpot filter, on the other hand, that is done on the web page, and you do have regex there. The other thing you could do, Gordon, since you play with this stuff, is instead of going to the spotting pages, forget that, just take the ASCII text feed and run it through a filter.
That would be a snap to do. Where do I subscribe to the ASCII text feeds?
The ASCII text feed, you just telnet. I think you might have to use stream mode, but you telnet to the particular address of the feed, usually port 23.
Just redirect the output to your stream filter, and you're good to go.
You got it.
Yeah, that would be amazingly rudimentary to do. Not for anything, but you could also set up different filters for different things. I totally separate them. So that way if one filter becomes annoying, you take it down. I'm wondering if anyone's tried, in the cloud, building one of those things, or even down on a desktop, and put it like in a little Docker container, and you basically just turn the container on and off, depending on which filter you want.
I don't know, Gordon, but you can bet there's a lot of geek-type hams out there that have probably already done this and probably already published some of the stuff they've done on the web. So you might just even want to search for it and see if they've got any Unix or similar-type tools for filtering the telnet stream outputs.
Sure. That would be very easy to do. All right. I'll have to try that. Get one more project to do. And by the way, what would be really good? Do that with like a Raspberry Pi or something. Just leave it there running all day and having it send alerts here, there, and everywhere. Provide a custom web page for your own needs, etc.
Yeah, Ham Alert can post to web pages. It can send emails. It can do SMS directly, but apparently that's a subscription service. But since it can send emails and up to two destinations, you just send email to your cell phone and email to your home address, and you get them in both spots. And that's what I do for my soda work. And you can turn on the destinations individually.
Well, I can send by an email a text message to my phone. So I forget what it is, but it's like my phone number at sms.att.net, I think, or my phone number at mms.att.net for MMS messages, if I so desire.
Let me look it up. Give me a second.
And I've used that a lot. I'll write a script and just I haven't used it in a long time, but I've used it a lot in past.
Okay, it's at txt.att.net.
I thought they had separate MMS and SMS services.
Yeah, they do. MMS is separate.
And what's the... So it's your phone number at txt.att.net and...
I didn't look up the other one. I just looked in my mail folder because I send some of my friends' messages directly to their phone. And I just used the carrier's email to SMS gateway. And what you do is don't put anything in the subject field, just put all your message in the text.
Right. Absolutely. Don't even bother. It works fine. It works amazingly well.
Yeah, all your information just goes in the body of your email and forget about the subject field. And for my friends that I do send messages to, I just add them to my address book on my computer and I decide whether I want to use their regular email or their cell email.
Right. Well, going the other way, the problem is they get an email that has no subject. And a lot of people freak out over that.
Well, if you're doing SMS, I haven't gone the reverse way from SMS to email. But I have done email on my phone out, but that needs data service.
Well, yeah, it does. But that works pretty well, too. Anyway, I'm going to embark on my little drive here to test out my my node. Basically, I'm going to take a long ride to Park Ridge, then loop back over by... neighborhood of Bergen Catholic and then home. Actually, I'll go there first. I think Bob's probably listening. Bob, I see Bob. Anyway, well, I think I quenched the hiccups. Anyway, we'll see what how that this all plays out. You know, sending an alert via text is, you know, from a script or email, piece of cake, it really is. And as I say, we do that all the time. We actually have a, internally, we have a separate server complex set up for doing mechanized alerting. And, you know, for alarms and such, that finds its way out to that same infrastructure. But it comes pre-processed at that point, and we jam it into the signaling network differently, because otherwise we would overwhelm the consumer interface. Let's leave it at that.
I understand completely. I know what kind of traffic is originated by networks for diagnostic and other reasons. Do you drink beer by any chance?
No, amazingly enough, I do not. I drink red wine. I'll drink any wine, actually, as long as it's reasonable. Not much of a beer drinker, even a stout drinker. I just never developed a taste for it.
Oh, the reason I asked is you're up in the neighborhood. If you wanted to stop by Davies, I could teach you.
Over on the circle there?
Yeah, next town up in Montvale.
Yeah, we could do that. I could do that. In which case, then I'm going to re-vector. Let me just do this. Let me slide. Yeah, let me see. I'm about to... I'll jump on... Kinderkrimack. That's easy enough done. Do that down here by Main Street and River Edge. And I'll drive up north. I'll loop around by Bob's house and then back down Soldier Hill Road back onto Kinderkrimack, and I'll just continue north. That way he gets his 900 meg at 2.4 gig hit as I drive by, and we'll go from there.
Okay, sounds good. And you're down in Rivervale now. That's probably, what, 10 minutes away, I guess.
I'm in River Edge, not Rivervale. I'm probably a good 15 or so minutes away from there at this point. So, yeah, that's fine. I could, you know, let's see. I've eaten well, so I could have a glass of water, I suppose. I could do that.
Okay, I just figured I'd say hi. I haven't seen you in quite a while. I don't know if Bob is interested in joining.
K2, no more, K2BA, W2TTT, WA2IC, yeah, I thought cross my mind, if you wanted to stop here and I could join you, but you'll have to bring me back, over.
Yeah, I think through the hour, Bob, I'd rather not, but, yeah, I'm gonna give you your hit, though. I'm literally going to come up Kinderkrimack, make a left onto Oradell, a right onto whatever that is. That would be by Bergen Catholic there. Is that Pascack? And then back down Soldier Hill onto Kinderkrimack, and I'll continue. I'll give Bob KD2BKD his hit, and I'll meet Bruce up in Montvale.
Okay, Gordon, it's Forest Avenue where Bergen Catholic is, off of Oradell Avenue. Anyway, so I'll be looking for the hit, and I'll be talking to you later. W2TTT, WA2IC, clear.
Okay, Bob, very good. I am, what do you call it? I have a note on 917, and I have a note what do you call it, on 2.4 on channel minus 2. That should work. In fact, if you saw my email on the ComTech group, you'll also note that I have a 5 gig node, but I keep it on a very out-of-the-way frequency, and that's primarily because I don't want to interfere with people's long-haul aspirations, so I keep it way down in the band. And it's so that when my mobile and my home and or a field node, you know, something that's portable, physically converge, you know, there's something for them to physically mesh on without having to worry about tunneling or doing anything else. If I take the 2.4 gig node off or 900 meg off or add a 3.3 instead or do something stupid, these nodes will still talk to each other. These node complexes talk with each other, so that's fine. By the way, I'm at Delighted Continental already, so I'm making really good time off Kinderkrimack at this point, despite the lights.
Okay. Is there 2.4 mesh up in Park Ridge still?
I believe Bob has one up at his house. At least I think he does.
Now, is he tunneled back into another location?
I don't know. Bob, maybe you can tell us. W2IC, KTBA, W2TTT. Is BKD on? I believe he's tunneled as well, right?
Yeah, I got to take a look. I'll get back to you.
This is KD2BKD.
Hello. Are you tunneled?
I am tunneled to Randy.
Okay, and my mobile node is tunneled to Randy. My home node is tunneled to, what's his name, out in California. But they're tunneled together, so that's fine. So it all works. So, yeah, You should pop up on my neighbor list. And because of the way I've got this thing organized or set up in my car, you'll actually see it as a previous neighbor or whatever once I float by you. That'll be kind of neat, actually. So, Bob, you're just to the east of the diner?
I am to the east of the diner by, I don't know, an eighth of a mile. And the node is pointed towards the south, towards your house, through the valley, towards Wooddale Park, Pascack Valley High School, and Old Pascack Valley Hospital. Goes right over it.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Okay. So should I go up the side street there, partway up the hill, and come back down, or should I... Do you think if I just swing through the parking lot, that should do it?
If you make a right turn on... Well, if you're going to come all the way to Park Ridge, you make a right turn at the Ridge Diner. On the street after the blinking light, on the left, you should get it. Probably by the diner, because it's a pretty wide pattern for the antenna.
Okay. But you are up the hill and to the east of... east of the diner?
Yes, I am up the hill to the east, northeast of the diner, more east than north, but it's about an eighth of a mile.
Okay. That's fine. There's a blinker light up that hill? I forgot that, yeah. You know, Gerskungil lives up that way. He doesn't. Yeah, he does. Gerskungil lives up that way, off the circle there. Yeah, that's hilarious. He's KD2CKI.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
He was, his son was originally in 334 in Montville, and then dropped out of scouting for a brief period, and then reemerged in my troop. And, by the way, I'm at Oradell Avenue now. I'm going to make a left. But he ended up in my troop and made Eagle and blah, blah, blah. But his father ended up getting his ham license in the process. And occasionally he uses it. We're trying to get him to be more active and the like, but that's always tough. And he now has a boat and wants to upgrade the General. The process of upgrading the General is so that he can operate ham radio on his boat. Give him something to do on the boat when he's just not hanging out. He's just sitting there, just enjoying the water. He wants to have something to do, and ham radio aboard his boat sounds fun. It would be to me. I think it would be to him, too. He just has to do the upgrade. I'm on Oradell, Bob, but you should probably have a lock. W2ISCQ2BAR. W2TTT, listen to me.
W2TTT, WA2ISC, I don't see anything just yet, over.
Okay, well, I'm up the hill. I'm by the park here, by the school, and by the, now by the ice skating area.
Oh, wait, I do see it, over.
There you go. On 2.4, you see me on 900, too?
Okay, you just popped in on 900 just now.
You know, my 900 antenna is a little shorty. It's one of those little stubby things. You know, they're kind of neat, but I think it just passed your house. So it went by. The one house that has that white chimney that's all lit up. I tell you, that is a very dramatic way to light a relatively small house.
Oh, is that the one just west of the blinker light?
Roger. That's just west of you, right?
Yeah. I'm just slightly east of the blinker light.
Right. Okay. Just coming up to BC. we do this, let me swing through there, not through the parking lot, but through their driveway. The if from the parking, the driveway of their of the school, if I can see you, let's see, alrighty. I'm at the high side of their driveway now. You still have a lock?
Okay, you just fell off of 900. Let me take a look at 2.4. Okay, I still have you on 2.4 gigs, about 47%.
Are you in Park Ridge now, Gordon?
No, I'm in Oradell.
Oh, you're a fair way south then, okay.
Yeah, I was all the way down south, way down south when we first started. Hold on a second. Let me just try something.
Okay, Gordon, you're fluctuating. The LQ number is fluctuating between 9 and 13 percent.
Yeah, you fell off my node list a minute ago. So that's that. All right. Let me get back on the road and continue. But, at least you got the hit. I'm not convinced that my antenna situation is ideal as I would like it to be. That's a whole nother matter. You know, I'm a bit of a nut when it comes to antennas. But I gotta see. I mean, I certainly don't have a MIMO antenna. I have diversity, but I don't have MIMO because I have two vertical antennas. You know, like 3 inches apart. They're unbelievably great industrial type antennas. They came off a BNSF railway engine, so they were they ran hundreds of thousands of miles on the BNSF, and you would never know that by looking at them. These antennas are pristine.
Okay, Gordon. At least now I know that my 900 meg node is in fact working. Over.
There you go. Yeah, I didn't have a chance to look at 900, but I did look at the 2.4. From the park, from the high side of the driveway of Bergen Catholic, I had you had fallen off my radar. Alrighty, let's see. The next thing will be Soldier Hill Road, where I am now. I will go back down to Kindergamak and continue north on Kindergamak, going into the diner parking lot, Park Ridge, do that thing, and then continue to Montvale to meet Bruce.
Given that Bob is up about 50 feet higher than Kindergamak, you may start getting him down in Hillsdale, maybe even a little further south.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't drive and look. So what I'll do is I'll swing into the parking lot of the diner, just park there for a second or two, check my signal from there. Assuming that works, that should be fine. What I'd really like to do is ultimately do a signal trace where I just routinely collect the received signal from that station and go at it. There's a nice utility within the mesh software. I can show it to you, Bruce, when we get together. But you can actually plot the signal level, signal to noise ratio. Actually, you plot it in real time between any two stations that you have connectivity to, and you can do either default to the strongest signal, or you can select anything that you have connectivity to, and it's pretty neat. Problem is that the tool if you lose connectivity, then it doesn't reestablish, and that's something that's really annoying to me. to me, I'd want that to reestablish no matter what. But that's not the way it works. But anyway, I am back at Kinderkrimack Road. It's wait for the light. And I'll be continuing north. W2TTV.
And W2SE. Yeah, very good, Gordon. Yeah, if you glance down, I don't know if you can see it periodically, but you should catch it, you know, somewhere along Kinderkrimack, probably between Westwood and Hillsdale, I'm guessing, depending. Of course, I don't know what the trees are going to do to it. I know they eat signal, but you might get something out there. Is he running a Yagi, or what is he running?
Bob's running a MIMO panel antenna. So it's a nano station, an NSM-2.
So flat panel, was he getting like 5 or 6 dB out of it?
Yeah, at least 6 dB, actually. 6 dB over a dipole, anyway. But it's MIMO, so it's pretty effective in sorting out the signals. The problem is that my end is not MIMO, as I said before. I'm running a rocket, and my rocket is essentially feeding a pair of verticals that are like 3-4 inches apart.
Okay, I have to see it to understand some of these things. Yeah, I got a bunch of stuff lying around here. I don't have anything that'll run mesh right now, but I got antennas and whatnot.
Yeah, so MIMO depends on polarization diversity or some form of physical diversity to do its job really effectively, to essentially establish two separate digital chains, if you will, which are then combined on the other side and worked through to provide either the rate or the reach that you're looking for, you know, to optimize the two. It's different than normal diversity in that, you know, normal diversity, just that you have two verticals, two horizontals, it doesn't matter. And, you know, they're relatively speaking on top of each other, and it is what it is. But you're not going to get the, what I call the difference in the phasing that you would if you had, you know, literally polarization diversity, or that if the two chains were physically way apart from each other, such that there would be lots of attenuation between the two paths. That's the fundamental difference. MIMO refers to multiple in, multiple out, and for 2x2, you know, one's horizontal, one's vertical. In what they call massive MIMO, you need either very large physical antennas or very high frequencies at really, really tiny wavelengths. And then you can introduce hundreds of radiating elements, which are all fed in phase at the right time and all sorts of fun things.
Okay, so this critter actually has multiple receivers, one for each antenna?
That is correct. And multiple transmitters as well.
Okay, I've never looked into this particular technology. I looked at OCS before and a few other things, but this is elsewhere.
What's OCS?
I think it's OCF, is it? Sorry, ODFM.
Oh, okay. That's mostly modulation, right?
It's used for path diversity and different signal arrivals, but it's a different solution. And too many acronyms, my brain is turning to mush.
ODFM, I think, is a degenerate form of MIMO, basically, or of 2x2 MIMO, anyway.
It uses a single antenna, though, I'm pretty sure. But it was looking at two received signals, different paths. Basically, it was a multi-path solution, choosing the best one.
Okay. But does it put one antenna out there with multiple receivers?
I don't recall the details at this point. It's been years now, but they were using it to achieve some longer distances than otherwise would be available by using reflections off buildings and other types of multipath generators.
I gotcha. I'm in the heart of Westwood as we speak, and I got a green light at the Five Corners. Life is good. And the reason why I'm not looking at the tablet is because it really is bright, and I have not set it up for night mode. There is actually a night color scheme. There's actually a bunch of night color schemes you can select, but neither here nor there. Anyway, I'm well on my way to Hillsdale at this point. So if Bob is listening, KD2BKD, you might want to take a peek at your screen and see what you see.
Yeah, I don't think I will see anything because there's a hill. There's a hill that's to the east of Kindakamak Road between me and Hillsdale and Westwood. You would have to go past the Blue Moon in Woodcliff Lake, and then after you cross Prospect there, you go up the hill a little ways, and then I should see you there, because that hill blocks that whole part of the valley from me.
NJ2BS, repeat.
W2TTT. Yeah, that would make sense. That would make absolute sense. I know exactly where you're referring, and I'll be there within a matter of moments. But, yeah, okay. Interesting, nonetheless. I'm shy of the Blue Moon at this point. I'm not quite there yet. I forget what this traffic light is here. I just couldn't quite read it. But anyway, it is what it is. I'm rolling up for the hill, slowly but surely.
Yeah, go ahead and let me know when you get to Park Ave. That way I can scoot out of here and jump in the car.
Sure, so that's the light at the diner?
Yeah, that's the light at the diner. In fact, when you get to Blue Moon, they should probably start moving.
Well, it won't be there very... I mean, it'll only be a couple minutes here. I'm in Woodcliff Lake, that much I do know. Gotta go up and around the bend, and I think then I'll encounter the Blue Moon in no uncertain terms as we sail up the hill yet one more time. This is a beautiful ride. You know, most people who commute it hate it, because in commuting mode, this road stinks. But if you're able just to drive this on a nice sunny day, or a nice cool evening, and I'm by the Blue Moon, by the way, it's absolutely lovely to drive up Kindakamak Road.
I like Pascack myself, but I'll see you a few minutes at Davies. I'm going to scoot now. W2SE is clear.
Roger.
Okay.
And just get us a table. We don't need anything elaborate, but I'm probably going to drink an iced tea if the truth were known. Just a regular old iced tea. It's really lovely to come up this way. And Fastcack's pretty, too. Both are very nice. Go up one and down the other. Done that many times. Just to burn some miles. Anyway, W2TTT. Bob, I should be within RF sight of you now.
Yeah, I'm looking at the mesh status, and I put it on automatic update, so I should see it soon.
Yes, you should. Yeah, I'm cresting the hill and now going back down the other side, so coming toward you.
Yeah, but there's also a lot of trees in the way. The trees just kill you.
KD2INX.
KD2INX. W2TDT, and I'm in the parking lot of the diner now, Bob.
Yeah, still there must be trees. If you go down Park Avenue, two blocks, then make a left. By the time you get to the bottom of the, by the time you get to Oak Avenue, you make a left. That's my street. You should see it there for sure.
All right. Well, INX, go right ahead.
Roger, I heard you guys talking, and I keyed up on the repeater, and there's a different frequency, so I figured you guys out. Greetings from West Hampton, New York, copy.
Roger. Bob, I'm passing a bunch of apartments.
Oh, I see you.
I was about to say, I'm passing a bunch of apartments here. I didn't see where Oak is. I can't really read the street signs, so I've passed the first street, and I'm going to go to the second, which is your street. That's hilarious. And I'm going to turn around and head back, but yes, on your block, I'll have to figure out where to turn around on this thing.
You can go up the block, past the house, at the top of the hill. You can make a left turn, and after this, then you have a stop sign. Then you go down the hill, and you'll be across the street from Burger King. You make a right on Kindergarten.
Okay. So make a left where it says dead end.
Yeah, if you pass the house, you're at 91%. On birth out at the top of the hill, you make a left.
All right, just keep going straight at the stop sign?
Stop sign, you go down the hill and be by Burger King.
Okay. Very, very good. Well, oh, I see. All right. Very, very fine. That's hilarious. So, am I still locked in?
Yeah, you're still in.
Remember, it does a slow decay, so actually I'm probably gone sooner than you know, but that's fine. In any case, I am now coming up on the traffic light by the grocery store, etc.
Yeah, that's the back of where I'm pointed. I'm pointed in the total opposite direction.
Yeah, I know. That's why it'd be a miracle if we had a signal.
I don't know. It says 30%.
Yeah, trust me. We've lost it long ago. It's got a slow decay because it does window sampling, average window sampling. So basically, if you get a bunch of zeros, it's still averaging them with a couple of 100s and 90s, you know?
Yeah, you're gone now. I would think that if you were by Wooddale Park, but you'd have to be a prospect, because if you go into the park, the trees in the hill will be in your way. You may get it there, but you may even get it at Old Hook Road. I don't know. The trees are the problem.
Yeah, I just can't drive around with a 60-foot tower on the back of the bumper.
No, you can. KD2, BKD.
You don't remember my old van, but I had a 35-foot tower on one bumper and a 50-foot on the other bumper. And for grins, I could put up a tripod in the middle on the roof rack, which was a walkable platform. If you remember my old blue van, it was quite the spectacle when I decided to put up a bunch of antennas.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Was that the van with the silver coffin on the top?
The utility box? Yes. I still have the utility box and all the van. But yes. You probably saw it in the days when it was probably across the back. There was one point where it was mounted on the street side, probably on the sidewalk side, in lieu of the rail. Do you remember that?
No, it was on the back when I saw it.
Yeah, by then, a good portion of the roof rack had been removed because it was steel. and it had become weighted down by an extreme amount of snow and ice one year, and I neglected to remove it, and 2 feet of snow and ice with it laid with rain caused it the roof rack to snap, and so I had to cut off most of the roof rack. That's when you saw the utility box on the back. Anyway, I am now pulling into our destination here. I will see you later. But yes, that was instructive, if nothing else. We have a hit. Bruce, are you about? 2SCW2TTT. I guess not. All right, 73 Bob. KD2BKDW2TTT.
Okay, this is KD2BKD signing off. 73's to you, and maybe I'll see you in Fairlawn tomorrow.
Oh, yes, you will, definitely. W2TTT, 73.
73 is good night.
NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
W2TTT listening.
NJ2BS repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS, repeat. Thank you. NJ2BS. Repeat. NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. 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 NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. 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 NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.